Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 9 a.m. service on Sunday, July 3rd, 2022.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle for today is from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For wherever one sows, that will he also reap. Excuse me. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk in this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but that the spirits are subject to you. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it seems as everyone loves it when July 4th falls on a Monday. Why might that be? Well, I suppose you've got the weekend to attend the local parade, to host your family barbecue, and perhaps even stay up late to watch the fireworks without getting all stressed out about having to get up early the next morning. Most of you, anyway. Of course, you can also take this time to reflect on the blessed freedom we are privileged to enjoy as citizens of this great land. And well, we all should. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope that you do, remembering that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And with so much for which us to give thanks, I would encourage you to openly declare your heartfelt gratitude in front of your family and friends for all that God has done for you. It is truly the least you can do. Now, historically speaking, it's been almost 250 years since a group of men declared their freedom from the rule of King George. They knew that declaring their freedom would only be the beginning. They knew that blood would be shed in order to earn that independence they had declared. And many men would give their lives during the following years so that we could have the freedoms we enjoy today. But of course, since we live in an imperfect world, people are still giving their lives for that freedom to this very day, even now. In our gospel text for today, we encounter Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to establish for us a different kind of freedom. There he would die in a different battlefield. There he would shed his blood to gain us freedom from sin, death, and the devil. And because Jesus is perfect, his death was enough to earn our freedom forever. Now that, my friends, demands a different type of gratitude. Continual thanks expressed in faithful worship and service to all in Jesus' name. Now, if you recall from last week, we talked about how Jesus came to earth with but one goal. And to accomplish that goal, Jesus would set his face to Jerusalem. There, the battlefield awaited him. And Jesus was determined to go there to sacrifice himself for us on the cross. As we recall those who gave their lives for the freedoms we love this weekend, we are also reminded that greater love has no man than this. So, let's talk about love, shall we? Even as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem to die for us, he continued to show his love for the people he met along the way. Of his time on earth, Jesus made the most of every minute, even during the closing days of his ministry. The Lord also appointed 72 men and sent them on ahead of him to prepare those people to prepare for his arrival. And to these men, Jesus gave instructions: travel light, carry no backpack, no knapsack, no sandals, no money bag. Don't be idle. Greet no one on the road. And don't be choosy. Don't go from house to house. Eat whatever is set before you. Focus on the mission. Avoid distractions. And that mission, of course, was to bring God's peace to those who received them. Jesus said, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And those who welcomed his disciples could look forward to the peace of God that Jesus would soon earn them at Calvary. But their mission also included healing and preaching. Jesus told them, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God. It's different than earthly kingdoms. Here on this earth, we can say that someone is a king because he rules a kingdom. The king depends on the kingdom. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, things are reversed. The kingdom is the kingdom because Christ the King rules it. The kingdom depends on the king. So when we say that the kingdom of God has come near to you, we are saying that the king has come near to you.
And that king is Jesus Christ himself. Suffice to say, those whom Jesus sent out were undoubtedly excited to perform this kingdom work. But to remind them of the dangers that await those who would follow him in this world and life, Jesus warned them, saying, "Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." It's true. How very wonderful it is when someone receives the message you bring to them in the name of Christ. What a privilege it is to see those who welcome the message of God's peace with hearts of joy and thanksgiving. And by contrast, how distressing it is when you encounter those people who have no desire to know God's peace or his kingdom. Therefore, Jesus warned his disciples then. He warns us now. There are always going to be those people who hate God's message and his messengers. So, what are you supposed to do when you encounter haters? Well, Jesus tells us, whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for your town." Now, for those who are familiar with the fate of Sodom, and I would expect that you all are, those are frightening words. And especially when you consider what Jesus told his disciples to say to people who welcomed them into their homes. The disciples were to announce, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But when a town turned them away, they were to say, "The kingdom of God has come near." Did you catch that? Something's excluded, isn't it? To you. Those who reject Jesus will be excluded from the kingdom of God. Two small words exchange a statement of joy and deliverance into a proclamation of God's judgment. And a fate far, far worse than that suffered by the idolaters of Sodom. And yet, this was not God's desire for any of them or any of us. We recall that for this reason, Jesus came. And Jesus died for the sins of the world. When he declared with his dying breath, "It's finished," he meant it is finished for everyone. And with his shed blood, Jesus purchased the forgiveness for the sins of all people in all places and in all times. So yes, Christ earned forgiveness of sins for all, even for those people you might consider to be the worst of the worst. The obnoxious relative who spoils every family gathering, Christ died for him. The neighbor who wants nothing to do with you, Christ died for him. The boss who enjoys nothing more than making your life miserable, Christ died for him. The politician whose every word makes your skin crawl, Christ died for him. Not to mention the abusers, the criminals, the killers and dictators whose evil deeds taint the page of our daily news and of human history. Christ died for them all. Even Judas Iscariot, who portrayed Jesus. Yes, Christ died even for Judas. And yet, how many times it is asked, "Will I see that person or this person in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, that depends. Will that person accept the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Or will that person reject it? God has given us free will, right? Free will to do as we choose. My friends, we make choices every day, even on Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings. And you can choose to live for today, or you can choose to live for Christ. That choice, of course, is up to you. When I look at the world around me, and I don't need to look very far, I continue to be amazed at how many people consistently make the wrong choice. And yet that doesn't keep those same people from blaming Jesus when something goes awry in their lives. As if it's Jesus' fault when they choose to walk the path that leads to suffering. Jesus has brought his kingdom near. Jesus makes the path known. Jesus invites everyone to walk with him, to pick up their crosses and to follow him, because he wants everyone to live with him in his kingdom. We know that, don't we? Jesus shed his own blood to make it possible for us all. With it, he has purchased your forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit makes that forgiveness known to everyone through the gospel. But the Holy Spirit will not force the gospel upon you. Remember free will? You can do as you choose. So some people ignore the Spirit's call. They reject God's gracious invitation. They treat it as an annoyance, an inconvenience, or a burden. And to them, the kingdom of God has come near, but not to them. And here we are, by God's grace, gathered in his house, and today we will pray, "Thy kingdom come." What does this mean? Martin Luther explains it like this. The kingdom of God comes without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us as well. Now, how is this done? When our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and live godly lives, here in time and there in eternity. We pray in this petition that it may come to us. It's right here. And it's to you, my friends, to you. Two small words become your truth. When our Heavenly Father gives you his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace you believe his holy word, and likewise by his grace you lead holy lives here in time. The Holy Spirit's gift of faith makes the difference. Through him you are given faith in Christ. And with that faith, the life of Jesus Christ is the way of salvation for us all. And again, it's just two small words. Two small words make an eternal difference. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary for you. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate for you. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead for you. Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven for you. From there he will come again. From there he will come again for you. For you, he is coming soon. So until he comes, let's get ready. Let's get to work. Let's stay focused. Let's declare our heartfelt gratitude for all that God has done for us. And let us make it known to our families and friends, our neighbors and communities, that what God has done for us, he has done for them. This is what he calls us to do. And this is the least that we can do. So let's go out and do it, shall we? In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.